7 and chapter number 1. And really I'm going to bring basically an introduction to the verse of Scripture that I'm going to be preaching out of on Sunday morning. And then we'll finish up the text on Sunday, okay? Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. And as always, we're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read down through verse number 16. We're going to read down through verse number 17. And I'm going to be preaching from that verse tonight. You know, anybody now that will memorize this chapter of Scripture, I'll give you a good, genuine leather Bible if you will memorize this chapter in the Bible and be willing to quote it. I'll give you a good Bible. I'm talking about one of the good church Bibles in there, no notes in it, no center column reference, just a good, genuine leather Bible for you. And if you'd be willing to do that kind of study and memorize that chapter, I'll give you a Bible. Amen. As long as the Bible's hold out, I'll give them away. Amen. And hope that everybody in the church will learn it. We'll memorize it. All right, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word of God this evening. I ask you to pray for Brother Hall tonight. I need your prayers, and I want to try to bring this introductory thought, if God would help me, and then bring the main thought out of this verse on Sunday morning. And I hope it will be a blessing to our church. The conversation, the love affair between the bride and her groom, which represents the Lord Jesus in us, ought to be one of the main themes of our life, is how we conduct ourselves and commune with Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. And so let's look to Him and ask God to open our hearts of understanding and lighten our eyes and mind tonight and help us behold great and wondrous things out of God's law, that we might be good soldiers of the cross and learn to love Him as He's loved us, and sinners likewise, that we might lay down our lives for them even as Christ did, that they might be lifted up out of the depths of sin. Let's pray together. Our Father, I want to thank You tonight for the privilege of reading this chapter again. It's been such a rewarding study to Brother Hall. Now I pray your blessings upon the preaching of thy word tonight. Bless every heart that's here. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll save old sinners by the grace of God. And bless your church, the people of God. Move our hearts for thee tonight. Help us, I pray, Lord, to be drawn nigh unto God. That, Lord, that we might experience great and mighty things from thy hand and blessings from thy heart with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray that you'll illuminate my mind tonight, help my thoughts to be clear, give me grace and great power, provide liberty, and may the Spirit of God pass through this place tonight in an unusual way to bring glory and honor to Jesus, and we'll thank you for it in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our attention tonight will be drawn to verse number 17. And if you'll notice there, where the Bible said, the beams of our house, the writer calls this our house. The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. And I want to try to give an introductory thought, if I may tonight, along the lines of our house, and just preach for a little while around that thought of our house. Now, by way of introduction, I want to say when the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, church, He permitted its writers to use their own personality. And in any writing, like in the Apostle Paul's, or other writings, you'll see the personality of those men come forth. The Lord allowed that. He allowed them to use their own personalities. And very often they used earthly things that they might demonstrate heavenly truths. I believe that is what we see here in this verse in reference to Solomon's house. I believe the reference there where he makes it to our house. We see that an earthly thing bringing forth a heavenly or a heavenly truth. Now I want to interject something right there by very briefly before I go any further. If you'll notice there, it says that the term is used, our house. That leads me to believe that both the bride and the bridegroom join in together in the last verse of this chapter to sing the chorus of this glorious song together. If I know anything at all about a song, the chorus is the final thing to be sung in that song, in any song. And down through chapter number 1, we have seen the bridegroom speak, and then we've seen the bride speak also. And they're singing this song in harmony together. But in the last verse that closes out the first of the 8 octaves of the Song of Solomon, I believe that we see them both in harmony together, singing out the final chorus of this particular song. And may I say to you, my friend, that is the way that it is going to be throughout all eternity. When God wraps this thing up and calls the saints home to glory, we're going to spend eternity there in glorious communion with our Lord and in fellowship with Him, singing and making melody in our hearts and communicating with the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't it be a wonderful thing? Or shouldn't I say, isn't it a glorious truth to know that we're going to spend eternity in the presence of God? And my friend, we shall behold all of the glory of the Lord. As I said on Sunday morning, that head of that was crowned with thorns will at that time be crowned with a royal diadem. And the face that was marred beyond recognition, you and I will behold His lovely face throughout all eternity. And we'll sit in glorious communion with Him. I believe that this is what we see here. The church is singing and the Lord is singing together, one at a time. But all, when I tell you, when that thing closes out and eternity has finally been consummated, they find themselves together singing harmony, or singing together in harmony and glorious fellowship, while the ages roll, my friend. You and I will be seated with Christ in heavenly places, enjoying eternal bliss and fellowship with Him. I tell you, that ought to have us swinging from the chandelier tonight. To know, my friend, that our soul was destined for hell without God and without hope, and that we lived in total depravity. Yes. We weren't fit to live and weren't fit to prepare to die. But yet the God of glory loved us with such a great love that He wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh and condescended into this earth, died upon an old rugged tree, that He might lift you and I out of a horrible pit and birth us into the family of God, grant us table right, that we can sit down at the King's table and enjoy eternity, my friend, benefiting in the presence of the very God of glory.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to spend too much time there.
Come on.
But we're going to sing the redemptive song throughout the ages.
Yeah.
We're going to sing a song that the angels can't sing. They have never had the privilege of being redeemed. Has it ever occurred to you that the fallen angels have never been offered an opportunity to be redeemed from their fallen estate? But my friend, Adam's race that all fell in Adam have been offered the grand and glorious privilege of being redeemed by the grace of Almighty God. I tell you that stirred my mind that God loved me enough that He had given me a second chance, amen, and come to this earth and save my soul from a devil's hell.
Amen.
Now, but what is meant here by the term "our house"? He said the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. What is meant there by that term "our house"? I believe that it is in reference to Solomon's temple. If you've ever read in the Book of Kings how Solomon built a temple for the Lord, and how it was builded out of beautiful firs and cedars of Lebanon, and how that it was built out of stones that were hewn out away from the temple site and was brought out. It was the first prefabricated home in all the world. Amen. For the timbers and the stones that were cut for the temple that Solomon built were not cut on site, but they were cut out into the field and ready built, ready to be assembled at the house of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, a glorious place it really was. That wood overlaid with gold, which represented, my friend, the humanity of Christ being overlaid with deity.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, my friend, what a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ was 100% God, but yet He is 100% man. He is the God-man. I'm glad tonight that I have got a perfect man seated at the right hand of God, who is my elder brother and my friend, and in the God, my intercessor, and He stands ready, willing, and able to save unto the uttermost all that are born of God by Him, even that He ever lives to make intercession for. Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
I believe it's in reference to Solomon's temple. It was an exceeding glorious building that could not be matched for its beauty and splendor of its day. The most magnificent structure that has ever been assembled, my friend, on the face of the earth, no doubt was Solomon's temple. But I'm telling you that God is in the process.
Amen.
I'm building a more temple than that of Solomon.
Right.
For He is right now building His church.
Yes.
Oh, thanks be unto God.
Yes.
For He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Bless
His wonderful name for that.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I want to say tonight that my true interpretation, now hear me well, by the true interpretation, this verse of Scripture looks beyond Solomon's temple into very heaven itself to that house that is made without hands. Amen. Is that house that is reserved in heaven for you and I. It is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't turn there. I'll just be there a minute. But Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Amen. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us this self-same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of His Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But son, I'm confident in this very thing, and being absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. Now, and I'm telling you, I've got a much more glorious house reserved in the heavens for me.
Yes.
It's incorruptible, and it's undefiled, and it's reserved God in the heavens for us. I'm telling you, I'm a longing for the day that mortal shall be swallowed up in the immortality of life, and this old body will give way to glory, and we'll be risen to meet Jesus Christ where we'll ever be with the Lord. That is not made with hands, but it is made by Almighty God.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Paul, he said, we're groaning for that. And we'd rather be there.
Yes.
Honey, I hope you ain't got your tent stakes down too deep in the world.
Preach on.
No, sir, brother, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't feel at home in this old world anymore. Honey, I tell you, I'm waiting for a door to open in heaven. I can say in Revelation 4, and for a sign, my friend, for a trumpet to sound, and a whole battle to see earth, and in a presence of God, where we'll dwell in a house not made with hands, much more glorious than this house.
Amen.
That we're a living in beloved.
Amen.
Amen. Now somebody said, preacher, tell me about that house. Well, we're not going to get into it a whole lot. But I will say that both the fir tree and the cedar, and I'm not going to get into them a lot tonight because I'm going to preach on them on Sunday. But the fir tree and the cedar board can be types or used as types in that house. I will give you a little by way of introduction for Sunday. But the fir tree is a very durable tree in nature, and it will not rot. I want to say it will not rot. Some of the most costly wood in the world is fir. Why, Brother Hall? Because it will not rot. I want to run that by you again. It will not rot. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, you and I, redeemed by the grace of God, cannot rot. We are incorruptible, immortal, invisible, in the hands of God, redeemed by the grace of God, clothed upon by the Holy Ghost, sealed in the that cedar tree. Somebody said, what about that cedar? That cedar tree, and I'm going to preach on this Sunday now. But that cedar tree is delightful in its smell. You like them, little cedar chests that you buy for those teenage girls, and they make them a whole chest. And the odor, the smell that's there. I'm telling you, the odor, they put forth a real fine odor. And somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth does that mean?" Well, it might represent that fullness of joy and those delightful pleasures that we'll have in the presence of Christ for all eternity.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, that old cedar, my friend, I don't care how old it gets, it never loses its smell.
Amen.
Hey, it doesn't matter how old a child of God gets, we'll never lose our odor. But if God has given us a spiritual odor, a sweet incense that we put off in the nostrils of God, and like that cedar tree, my friend, we'll never lose that sweet odor of incense that God has put in us.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, what is that odor?" I'm glad you asked. Got this thought of it.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's Christ that lives in me. I got news for you, honey. He's the refuge. He's the cedar. He's the fire. He's everything else about you and I. He's my all in all. Everything that I am, He is. And was before I ever got there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Son, I won't say tonight, if you're saved, you're saved.
Right.
And you will not rot. You shall never come into condemnation. And the older you get, the more blessed of His presence you'll have, and the sweeter the smell grows from
Amen.
That's right. I'm getting tired of some of these old folks talking about how they get old and they got to back out and let down and stop. Son, I ain't backing down.
Amen.
Preach up. I'm preaching my way into hell. Not talking about preaching my way into salvation. I'm preaching my way in. Amen to God. I hope when if I die before the rapture, son, I hope I go to the grave preaching.
Amen.
Not for your sake, but for mine. I wouldn't care if you'd let me drop dead up here getting in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Get me well up high. I'm talking about higher than a rebel lamb.
Yes.
Higher than a Georgia pine.
Amen.
And just let the heart quit and carry me on out the glory.
Amen.
I'm talking about preaching my way in the glory.
Yes.
And if I go out of the grave, I hope when I come out, God will open my mouth by letting me preach the gospel to the devil while I'm going out.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord.
Yes. Blessed is wonderful night.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. But I want to say that by our term now, our house, we may also see the New Testament church. Not just that house that's made without hands reserved in the heavens for us. But we see the New Testament church. And the New Testament scriptures support it. Listen what Paul said to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. He said, "But if I tear it off, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." In the house of God.
Amen.
In the house of God.
Amen.
I want to say, in the house of God.
Amen.
Which is the church.
Amen.
Which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm not trying to be ugly. I say it again tonight. But a building that houses people does not necessarily constitute a church, my friend. A church is a pillar and the ground of all truth. Preaching the whole council of the night.
Right.
Amen. I'm getting tired of some of these jokers starting up their little shindigs and writing church over the front door.
Amen.
They ain't a bit more church than a Billy Goat's Bill Clinton. Well, he is a Billy Goat, but that's beside the point.
Amen.
Guarantee if you party's hurry, you'd see antlers are growing horns in there somewhere.
Right.
He's got a wad on him. Looks about like a Southern Baptist.
Preach up.
I won't charge you nothing for that.
Preach.
I won't charge you a thing for that. Most of them's got them tomahawks, you know. They look like Geronimo's tomahawk on top of the head. I won't charge you a thing for
Preach
that.
Preach up. Amen.
I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
I am proud to be a part of the church.
By the way, this is the church singing in harmony and in unity with the Lord.
Amen.
That's
right.
That's right. The church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now I'm telling you now, friend, the only way you can say is to sing in spirit and in truth.
Right.
It's to worship in spirit and in truth. Right. And some of them have got the spirit, but they lack the truth.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid us Baptists have got the truth, but we lack the spirit.
Yeah.
Come on. I know we're going in the rapture last. So the Bible said the dead in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going first, brother. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going first.
Great.
That's right. Folks, it takes spirit and it takes truth to worship God. It takes spirit and truth to sing in harmony with God. And if you got one without the other, you're not getting anywhere with God. I don't care which one of them it is.
Amen.
I know some Baptists, dead at 4 o'clock in the morning, decide to sit under the pastor. I wouldn't sit there 5 minutes, son. I'd hit the back door. No, sir. Hey, I'm just telling you how Brother Hall is. I like preaching. It's got a little juice in it. I like praying. It's got a little juice in it. I like worship. It's got a little Holy Ghost in it. I like people that say with a little touch of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Testifying the same way.
Amen.
Most folks testify. Sound like God, sound like they're dead out here. Y'all pray for me. I've got an ingrown toenail.
Great.
God help us.
Right.
Preach on. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But Paul made this statement. He said, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house we are. Here's that fine line. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. Now, I'm telling you, friend, except you abide the ship, you cannot be saved. Son, God never changed, never saved those that went overboard. Like I said a few weeks ago, that little boy that hung on the inner tube made her to land. But the woman that panicked, drown in the depths of the sea. And I'm telling you, friend, a church member must stay in the ship if they're going to go to glory.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You can call me on that or what you want to call me. But the church. Now what about that church? A house. I'm preaching on the house. Our house tonight. Notice it said our house.
Woo!
His and ours.
Right.
All
right.
Amen.
Co-owners. We're in this thing together.
Amen.
We're companions together in the same house. Look here. And if we're in the house with him, that means we got to get along with him.
Right.
Yeah, there's got to be a little harmony, a little unity.
Well, come on.
Amen. We cannot. And by the way, brothers and sisters live in the same house. And except there's harmony and unity there, some of them will eventually go.
You're right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
One of the greatest evils in Baptist churches has been the fussing and the bickering and the bellyaching and the backbiting and the devouring one another.
Right.
Been the greatest tragedy in the Baptist movement and especially the independent Baptist movement. I'd have to say Southern Baptists hold an edge on us right there. They get along much better with one another than what we do. That's right. I've never seen anything like independent Baptists, son. Folks to be family members. And son, like Cain that slew his brother Abel, we constantly want to rise up and slay our brother. So there has got to be harmony and unity in the house. There must be peace in the house and tranquility in the house if the house is going to prosper like God wants it.
Amen.
Amen to the house. Now, I won't be long. I've only got 8 or 9 points on that. And I'll let you go to the house. But the church, I won't say number one, Christ is the only foundation. Now you let that soak in on you, buddy. I'm going to run that by you again. Christ is the only foundation of the church. Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, friend, you cannot build it. A church cannot be built on nothing but Christ and Christ only. Now somebody, I want somebody said he's going to get the medal, and you better believe I'm going to get the medal, buddy. I'm going to tell you what Christ is. We had it up there for a few years, preaching and praying and praising, buddy, and that's all of it.
Amen.
Now, heaven shall be called a house of prayer. He chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe, and he's ordained praise out of the mouth of faith and suffering.
Amen.
And that is what God delights in the church.
Amen.
Now, you can like that or lump it up, but it don't make any
sense. Amen.
You ain't going to build her on nothing else, buddy.
Right.
Somebody said, what about him, science? That's already been tried here and it didn't make it. We went to order the concrete blocks for that building out there today, and I'm not going into detail. I'm not going to tell you who the preacher was. I'm not even going to tell you what company it was in town. But I told Brother Steve today. He said, who are you going to try to order them blocks from? I said, get the best price and order them. And I said, make them bicker against one another. Put them against one another. Let them fight it out. Get the best price you can. Amen. But we went to build that other building back there. I called it a block outlet, a block manufacturing town. And I said, I'm going to Island Ford Baptist Church. He said, stop. He said, now ain't you an offshoot off the old Madisonville Baptist Temple? I said, yes, sir. We're still Madisonville Baptist Temple Incorporated, DBA Island Ford Baptist Church. He said, well, he said, if I bring you a concrete block out there, it'll be cash. Don't want no check. Don't want no COD, no check, and no money order. Want cash and cash only. I said, sir, is there a problem with me? He said, no, but the former pastor and the former minister there beat me out of a few thousand dollars on Princeton Pike. And he said, I ain't getting in that mess no more with you. Are you happy? Look, come on now, don't back away. Come on, I said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a man that tried to lay a foundation of Harper Brothers and Comet and the Primitive Quartet and the Inspirations Quartet, and it's folded and fell. But you take a group of people, my friend, that build upon the old time. That's the word of God down in their hearts. That's what they believe in. And they're saved. You have a hard time putting them to rest.
You're right.
They'll stay, buddy. They got that look in their heart to preach that name. They got no stick of ability to them.
Yes. Amen.
You're right. That's right. Some stick of ability.
Amen.
Bring your lawn chairs and come on tonight.
There's a place.
Rick. Now I'm going to tell you something.
They're telling the right.
Public speaking. It ain't built on puppet shows.
Right.
And it ain't built on children's church.
Amen.
No, sir, I don't want my children being drug off and let some long-tongued heifer woman.
Amen.
You're right.
I want the kids in this church to know Gary Hall is their pastor.
Yeah,
I'm going to say, oh, but they're little kids and they can't understand. Guarantee they can understand a whole lot more than you think they do.
Amen.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
Amen.
Preach on.
I touched on Adam and Eve out here a few Sundays ago. One of them little kids come up here to church and said, brother-in-law, he said, Miss Ruth told us that this morning. I said, is that right? Is that right? I said, what did Miss Ruth say? She said, it said that Jesus bruised Satan's head and he thumped Jesus' heel. I said, well, they got that mixed up a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. They're less than a whole lot better than you.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When Noah put them on the ark, Mr. and Mrs. Bear ate the same thing that Mr. and Mrs. Lamb ate. And the lambs eat the same thing the lions eat. And the lions ate the same thing that your hearts the camels ate. And as far as I know, they all ate the same thing that Noah and his family ate.
Amen.
That's just a long way of saying they all had the same food. Buddy, I'll tell you, God's got the same menu for big, little, small.
Amen.
He didn't separate them in Noah's day. He didn't separate them in Moses' day of the wilderness. Why, God ain't going to separate them today.
Amen.
I won't charge you none for that.
Amen.
I said it's the foundation of the church. Then the material that's in that church, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, they are lively stones.
Amen.
And it's not built out of dead beat rocks.
Amen.
It's built out of lively stones. Oh, Brother Peter said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
Amen. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what are we doing here tonight? You're here to offer up a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Now, I'm not going into all detail on that. I've just rammed it so long and so many years, I'm out of shame of myself. But I'm going to tell you what part of that sacrifice is. It's the fruit of your lips even giving praise unto God.
Amen.
You better log that down in your little black book, friend. And I'm here to tell you, if you are going to offer up a spiritual sacrifice, it cannot be done in the flesh. It's not a carnal thing. It's not a fleshly thing. And you're going to have to crucify that old flesh of yours.
Yet
will stand in the way of your sacrifice, your life, your labor, your ministry to God. And that goes for just coming to the house of God, singing in the choir, singing special music, whatever you're doing. Preaching, sitting on the pew, singing congregational songs. You're going to have to learn, my friend, that the flesh does not like what you're doing.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
It's
comparison
to the flesh.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Huh? I'm going to tell you, I've got up pretty high a few times. When I settled back down to earth, I kind of felt about the same way as I did when I used to go out and get drunk. I'd scratch my head and say, what on God's name did I do? Only I wasn't a bit ashamed of what I'd done. Because I know I was in God.
Amen.
It didn't bother me, but I didn't wonder exactly what it looked like. I went home before. Miss Hall said, I would to God you could have seen yourself tonight. I said, what did I look like? She said, I've never seen nothing like it. She said, the expression on your face was beyond anything I'd ever seen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I never seen nobody here on like that. Hey, we're lively stones. We're a peculiar people.
Amen.
We are a royal priesthood tonight.
Right.
We're the church of the living God. We are, my friend. We are the beams that are cedars, and we are the rafters of prayer in the heart of the living God.
Amen.
We'll
amen.
Hallelujah to God. That's material. Now I want to say number three in that house. Guess who lives in that house? Who dwells there? I want to say to you that Christ dwells there.
Amen.
He didn't. Look here now, everybody look up. A lot of men build houses to sell.
Right.
I built my house to live in.
Amen.
Of course, I know it ain't for sale. I built it to live over there.
Amen.
That's right. Why do you think Christ is building His house?
Amen.
To live there.
Amen.
To dwell there. Son, when this little band of believers found in that front door tonight, they carried Christ in here with them, and He dwells in their heart. By faith, He has built and assembled and put together these lively stones that He might have a habitation on this earth. Amen. Through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Christ dwells here. Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Builded up. For a habitation of God. He didn't build this church, my friend, for you to play with and me to toy with.
Amen.
No, sir.
Amen.
He built the church as a habitation to live in upon the earth. It always has been, always will be, the mind of God and the will of God to dwell amongst His people.
Yes.
Amen.
And to have an earthly habitation.
Amen.
And it will happen.
Right.
Throughout all the ages. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what is a mind-boggling thing. How that Christ, or God, as big as He is, could get in a little old body like me.
Amen.
But He's in there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes As much bigger as he is than I am, it just about blows me up. And the nice one of them, I'm just about to
get in. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to say that's a problem with death. Yes! If we just let him explode, Christ, my friend, would fill the whole house that we're in.
Yes.
Right. Like I told him, like God told me back there that day. When opened that door, Brother Mystic was in there praying. Him and Brother Thompson, they was a praying some. Opened that door, and God was sticking in that place like a cloud. And I said in my heart, I said, I'm going to shut this door. God's in here. And the Holy Ghost said, son, swing it open wide. I'm big enough to fill the
Amen.
Whole building.
Woo!
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I've got news for you. That's just a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Lord said? God, I feel God in my
heart.
I'm going to tell you what God said. The glory of the Lord shall fill the whole earth.
Yeah.
His glory, He's big enough for His glory to fill the whole earth that we're living in. Glory to Him. What a pleasure and glory is God left serving tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Big enough to fill heaven and earth at the same time and not even stretch it.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
That's right. They don't even have to get bent out of shape to do it.
Good.
No, sir. You know what he said to that Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 1? He said, and I'm not reading the whole verse, but he said, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You know what those candlesticks are, friend? He tells you in chapter 1, they're the churches. He walks in the midst of the church. Oh, yeah. Friend, that ought to elate us tonight.
Amen.
To know that Christ is somewhere in between these four walls.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir.
Walking up and down the aisle.
Amen.
Searching out the hearts of men before the judgment seat.
Amen.
Looking into the heart that would by faith allow God to bless them a little bit.
Yes.
Looking into the heart that they would allow Him to work in their life to bring glory to God. Looking into the heart that's broken. Looking into the heart that's sad. Looking into the heart that has a need. I'm telling you, He's walking in this church tonight.
Amen.
And He's trying His best to glorify Himself and to bless the saints of God that He's
Amen.
Given.
Amen.
Glory.
That's
right.
Amen.
I'm going to say fourthly that Christ feeds and feasts with His people there. Draw up a table, honey. Or draw up a chair, brother, and sit down at the table.
Come on.
Like the preacher said in the camp, meeting, we've got table rights.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
It's like that little old gal right here in Solomon 1. She said her spikenard was offering up, she was offering up the sweet smell of her spikenard while the king sat at his table. She must have been under it, son. Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? He feeds and He feasts in the house of God. You come here tonight to meet with Christ. Not to shake somebody else's hand, which that's all right. Not to gloat in any of our flesh. We come tonight to draw the chair at His table. Like Paul on the Mephibosheth, weighing on both feet a cripple or man, unable to walk, but God the ladder and crippled waiting to bring the rope to set down at the king's table, my friend, that we might enjoy the blessings of God. Well, we come to church, say grace, bless the Lord, get our knife and fork, and dig into all the grace we can put in our mouth. Hallelujah to God.
Everybody, you're right.
Man. For dessert, we can just have a little bit of His glory.
Yeah.
Oh, His glory and grace just dine at the table. He asked those little old men disciples that day, he said, Kevin, you got anything? They said, not a thing. We poured all night. We have. We called all night and hadn't caught a fight.
Amen.
But when they got to land, you know what they found? They found when they stopped toiling and got to where he was at, the bread and fish was already on the fire.
Yeah.
And the honeycomb was sitting there waiting.
Like
oh my, hallelujah to God.
Glory. Yeah.
Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb.
Right.
More precious than gold. Yeah. Right. Amen. He fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, a perfect number. He always feeds perfectly.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
So we're like a bunch of kids, though. We wrinkle our nose at the spinach. And all we want is vanilla pudding. Or a chicken breast. But you're going to have to eat the spinach along with it.
Right.
Like that lady told me up there, that iridologist, she said, green keeps you clean. Eat a little green spinach and stay clean. Get in a green pasture. Make them eat a lot down in green pasture. Leave me beside the still waters.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
That's right. He fed them with 7 loaves and a few small fish. I get that now, just small fishes. And by the way, they took up 7 basketfuls. They had that perfect count left over.
Amen.
Amen. They had the perfect count left over. But all they had were 7 loaves and just a few little fishes, and it fed 4,000.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. We come to church and say, oh, I've got to have more, got to have more. Bless your heart, swallow your heart what you've got. Belch about 3 times, and you may be ready for another bite.
Amen.
Belch it up and chew around on tomorrow, son.
Yep.
Think about to Him be glory.
Yes.
Woo! In the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Walk without Him. Amen, Paul said.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
That's right. You know what he said in Isaiah chapter 40? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd.
Yes.
He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. One on his shoulder and one to lead. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, thank God, that he's got the heart and the man and the weak and the cripple on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And those that have managed to digest it over the green grass that he feeds us in, they give us enough strength. He leads us along
right
the
heart.
Yeah. We're walking behind while he carries the others. But he carries out and he leads the others. But we'll all make it.
Amen.
Amen.
Worry about not making it. If you can't walk, son, he'll pick you up
right.
There.
Yes. Amen.
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 Thank
you, Lord. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. According to Luke 15, he carries us every step of the way in
that.
There ain't a thought there about putting that little lamb, that one lamb that he found, that left the flock. Not one time does it say he put it down, but he brought it into his own house with rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a carrying us along. He knows how weak you are tonight.
Right.
He knows how feeble you are, how frail you are. He knows the woes that you're facing, the battles
you're
facing. He knows every temptation of life that you're faced with.
Yes.
He knows when your heart aches.
Yes.
He knows when you lay down at night, when you rise in the morning.
Amen.
I've got news for you. He even knows another hand on your head.
Yes.
And he's not one who
perishes.
Not one.
Thank
you, Lord.
Bless his wonderful name.
Yes.
Christ feeds and feasts with him there. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 4. The bride said, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Thank you.
Somewhere we ought to have a little banquet around here tonight.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Ain't that right? Church, I'm trying to encourage you.
Preach on.
God told me to preach this tonight. I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage some of you.
Yeah,
really, I am. Because I believe some of you have got some real struggles in your life. Oh, Brother Hall, hey, I just want you to know that the church is the best friend you've got.
Amen.
It's the only organization, it's the only institution on earth that is built by a heavenly head.
Amen.
That's all. I don't care what nobody says. Now, I'm not trying to start no bone, but the 700 Club, the PTO, and all that stuff, God did not start that mess.
Right.
Amen.
Now, you can like that or not, but don't make a big difference.
Read y'all.
We started the church.
Amen.
Yes. Right.
The church.
Amen.
It's good. Miss Halsey writing some little old girl over on that email that's been sending her letters and talking about the baptizing infants. Friend, because they're in the covenant of grace. And we forgot to said you ought to baptize infants because they're in the covenant of grace. Now I'm going to tell you, folks are as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know beans from bats when it comes to the ordinance of the church, which is baptism in the Lord's Supper. And he gave it to the church, which is the pillar and the bread of the truth, period, my friend.
Amen.
Amen.
And they're to be administered by the church, and you're not authorized to take communion until you've been scripturally baptized.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's
right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm out.
Preach.
And it's wonderful to be in the church.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I want to say, in his house is a place of rest.
Yes, sir.
Lord, baby, come to church and kick her shoes off. Getting that lazy boy in here on Tuesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, rest in God.
Amen.
That's right. It's a place. Hey, when he was in the ship, his disciples with him, where were they? Where was he at? He's in the stern of the ship sleeping. He's resting. He's not troubled tonight.
Yes.
He's not worried. He's not wringing his hands.
Right.
So I asked a girl out the bank today, and I'm telling you, people are so, no doubt the license brand, people are so mixed up. I said, well, are you ready for Friday night? She said, oh, no. She said, my family and I are staying at home. We're not going out. I said, ma'am, I wouldn't talk about that. I talked about Y2K. She said, oh, no. We're ready. She said, anybody needs license plates, better get them. Said, they're shutting down all our computers Thursday afternoon, and they're going to work on our computers Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Said, they told us it's going to be the biggest chaos Kentucky's ever had. Huh? I'm going to tell you a call today. I got recertified the other day for concealed carry class. And I spoke to you, got my certificate back in a week to 2 weeks. This has been a month, over a month. It's been 6 weeks. And I called over to the department and asked the woman, she said, I thought you were talking to my supervisor. I'm not allowed to give out that information. Woman come online, said, yes, sir, can I have you? I said, yep, told her who it was. She said, what's your serial number? I gave her the serial number. She looked at me and said, oh, Mr. Hall, said, yeah, I said, you've been recertified, your certificate was supposed to have been mailed out on the 23rd. But she said, listen, she said, here's the problem. Said, they've shut our computers off, and they've been down for 5 or 6 weeks, and we've been trying to put all the computers in our, and said, it is going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm going to tell you what's making it a mess. Morons. That have been told for years that it was coming and wait the 5 weeks to get here to try to do something.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is asinine.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Stupidity at its height.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Where else could it happen?
Amen.
Amen.
Start no arguments. I'm going to say his house. His house is where he lays up all his treasures.
Amen.
Where you got your treasure at tonight?
That's right.
Come on, set minds in the bank. Let your heart minds over the house.
Yes.
I'm not talking about shotguns, rifles, and knives. I'm talking about mama and all the little youngins.
Amen.
My treasure is laid up over yonder.
Yes.
And he's got his treasure laid up in his house. Listen to what the psalmist said. And I know this says Israel, but forgive me. I couldn't help myself. He said, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. He said in Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewel. Has it ever occurred to you that you are his treasure?
Yes.
In the treasure house. He paid the utmost price, my friend.
Yes.
For the treasure of the earth. Your never dying soul is the treasure that God died for and is laid up in his house.
Amen.
I want to say this. I know his heart's in the church because where your treasure is, where your treasure is, that where your heart be also.
Amen.
His heart is in the church because that's where his treasure is at tonight.
Yes, sir.
Your soul and my soul.
Yes.
And he suffered and bled and died for it and purchased That's your heart. He watches over it carefully. Amen. And his security system is doing all right. And he's not worried about a Y2K glitch.
Right.
Right. His security sensors go off the minute prowlers come on the property. He senses it. He knows when the devil, invades your premises. That's right. He knows every time. That treasure. Then I want to say that he maintains his house by making all necessary repairs. He can repair your broken heart. He can repair your life that's in shatters.
Right.
Your home that's a mess.
Right.
Amen.
The structure of your life, whether it be financial structure, your family structure, He can make the necessary repairs.
Right. Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. That don't make no difference how bad it might get. Huh? He don't just throw a little coat of paint on it, make it look good.
Come on.
Son, he repairs it right.
Right.
Amen.
With some rafters of fur that won't rot.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
He's good, brother.
Amen.
Brother Wayne.
Amen.
Hallelujah to my God.
Amen.
Amen.
This is an inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. God can repair your feeble faith.
Amen.
Amen to God.
Yes.
He's able to repair the breaches. Make up the heads. Repair the breaches in the house of God.
Right. Yes.
He's Lord over his house.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
He keeps it clean.
Yes.
And he ensures that it's always attractive and beautiful.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Yeah, man. He fills it with glory and grace.
Amen.
And that's the beauty of calling us to His house.
Holy.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'll assure you, my friend, it'll never look like that old... I looked in the paper today, just I was going to buy one. I may get one when I leave tonight. And something, one of the old Baptist churches, I believe it's a black church in town, in the area, that they was tearing it down. They said it got old and lost its usefulness. Was old and could no more be used. It was rotten and falling in. And I thought, oh, how true it is. Like I told some men back there the other night, folks, the church is not this little building of four walls. The church is made up of lively stones, which is made up of people.
Yes.
And I thought, hey, somewhere down the line in the ages to come, that building that folks out yonder consider to be Iron Ford Baptist Church. Would it carry her and fall away? I don't care how much manual repair we do on it. Eventually the termites will eat it away and the wind will blow against it and old age will see to it that its house is torn down. And I've got news for you. If somewhere down the line, if you live to be an elder statesman, that old age has got a way of tearing the house down that we're living in, that even makes it bearable. I'm not worried about Parkinson's. Praise God. God just, God's way of tearing this old house of mine down a little by little. But I'm glad, hey, Brother Mark, hallelujah to God!
Amen.
That I've got a house!
Amen.
Eternal in the heaven, made with our hands, bless your heart.
Amen.
That shall stand for all eternity.
Amen.
All this house that was built of the men rocks and falls away. The glorious church that the Lamb built shall live on and sing praises to God forever in
it.
In eternity to God.
Amen.
He maintains it. I want to say he manages all the affairs in it. He's Lord.
Right.
He manages it. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the deacon board shall run it.
Preach.
Try that again, friend.
Right.
Amen.
But the Son abides forever over His house.
Yes, sir.
Whose house ye are.
Amen.
If you hold fast the confidence of rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end.
Amen.
What Paul said.
Amen.
He manages the affairs of it. I should have helped that to last, but I close on this though. He also educates all children in it.
Amen.
There ain't no ignorant children in God's family.
Amen.
Y'all old enough, He educates you, friend.
All right.
It's a little thing that's called growth.
Amen.
In grace and in knowledge and in wisdom, He will educate you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't have a board of educators either.
Right. Right.
Looking over his shoulder, telling him what curriculum to use. He's only got one curriculum as far as I'm concerned. It's a King James.
Amen.
Everybody's right.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something else. He takes that curriculum and teaches it. Now I'm going to tell you something, friends. Sometimes learning his English and math and social studies, You know what social studies is? Social studies. I believe it's kind of like the studies of people that live together and socially together, socialize. That's something Baptists ought to do, is learn how to live together with people. You ought to have little social studies every now and then.
Amen.
Amen. All of us. He educates us. And if He educates you, oh, I just all this. What school ever gets educated? But they don't have graduation day.
Yeah.
I just thought the other night, I thought it was a pretty good one.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
There won't be no little orange robe either, yellow robe like our kids wear.
That's right.
Little red robe.
Lord,
be a robe of righteousness.
That's right.
White linen, a red and white
linen.
Which is the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah to God. And we'll all receive crowns when I take them and throw them back. For He's worthy.
Yes, He is.
We'll receive all glory and honor.
Amen.
He's worthy. They begin to sing and said, "Our house. Our house. What a privilege to inhabit the same house as Christ."
Right.
Let's stand together.
Amen.
I didn't intend to quite keep you quiet this long. But I always get carried away when I don't intend to. I think I'll start coming to church doing that all the time, just intending not to. Thought about that house. Aren't you pleased to be a part of it? Our Father, I'm thankful tonight for the help that You gave, for the liberty, Lord, that You provided. Lord, for the blessing You were to the hearts of Your people. I thank You for the smiles, the good spirit, the rejoicing. I pray that You'll help us in weeks to come, that, Lord, that our lives might reflect the victory that we have in Thee. Give every heart tonight that which it stands in need of to walk triumphantly in this life, having victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. Help us always to please God. Help this church. to be that kind of a house that I've tried to preach on tonight to the glory and honor of God. I'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Save every sinner, Lord, under the sound of my voice. And bless as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What are we singing, Brother George? Page 304, God spoke in your heart tonight. You need to pray. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. You come right on while we sing 304 together as we sing, Brother George. Let Him have His way with you tonight. Would you do that? He is that. He is the Father. Help us to yield, Lord. Sing one more verse, please. Sing again, Brother George. Just a minute, we may sing another verse. Have you really let God have His way in your life? I'm talking about just throwed up the white flag of surrender. Said, Lord, I'm all Thine. Do with me as Thou seemest good unto Thee. That's all you can do, friend. I've got news for you. He's going to do it. And it's much easier if He does it with a willing heart. That's right. God's a sovereign God. And for any man to try to stand in the way of God and raise his fist in the face and nostrils of God and tell God what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. Friend, I'm going to tell you that's foolish thinking. And God's not worried tonight a bit about what's going on in the world. He's not worried. He's not wringing his hands. He's not even nervous. Now, we're human. There's times in our life when we do grow concerned. When circumstances develop beyond our control, it'll make us nervous. I'll run it by you again. When circumstances develop beyond our control, it will make us nervous. But you're going to have to understand that any circumstance in your life that develops beyond your control, God has allowed it to be there. And if He has allowed it to be there, we'll stay right in our spirit and right with God. Somewhere down the line, He'll bring us out. Oh, somebody said, Preacher, I'll tell you, I'm so far gone, I don't believe God can bring me out. That's what Jonah thought. But that was God's opportunity to prove to Jonah that he could reach the depths and God could still bring him out. You're not going down so far that God, His mercy, can reach down that far and bring you out. I bless His wonderful name. I had a wonderful day today. I hate to go home tonight. This is God's house and God's been here tonight. If He hadn't been out there, He's been right on this little area here. And this is really all I can handle of it. I can't handle him outside my perimeter. But if I can get him around my perimeter and you can get him around yours and the rest of them get you around yours and around yours, he'll fill the house. I want to bless his wonderful man. He's been good to me. I appreciate everybody being here tonight. Appreciate two gentlemen visiting with us. I can't remember. I know it's Brother Mark, but I can't remember his last name. But he's got some of those Ten Commandment signs. If any of y'all would like to talk to him about one of some of those signs or something, I'm going to ask him to stand back there at the back. And there, he's kind of helping out or trying to fight the Sodomite movement up in Henderson, too. And need to pray for these men. I think that's really, I must be careful of what I get involved into. I've got to be. I'm not going to allow street fights, so to speak, skirmishes to take me out of my what God's called me to do, and that's to preach. But I'm glad that there are some men that God will allow
Amen.
To get involved in these things
Amen.
And to stand against it. And there's nothing wrong with standing against Sodomites. Right. They're coming out of the wood.
Right.
And those that would destroy the Ten Commandments. Did I tell y'all what I read in the paper the other day about the Atlanta school system? The Board of Educators, the school council in Atlanta, Georgia, met. And they said, and they passed a resolution in the school. They said, this will be the last year that we have winter break in the Atlanta school system. And I thought, well, that don't sound, I mean, big deal. So it's the last year they're going to have a winter break. But the article went on to say that they had, in the past, up until 1990, had Christmas break. And the ACLU filed suit. And they quit saying Christmas break and went to winter break. But the superintendent of the school system said our country was founded on godly principles.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going back to Christmas break.
Amen.
And a Jewish rabbi said, we'll file suit again. And the superintendent said, I don't give a flip what you do.
Amen.
We're going to have Christmas break in Atlanta, Georgia.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm being honest with you. I see a swing. Now, it may be, I read in the paper where that Jeb Bush and some of the high-ranking, the House Speaker in the state of Florida, some other men met in Florida and I don't know what they called it, a religious referendum or something about the school system and the situation in Florida. Last year, Jeb Bush and Lawton Giles had it together. Of course, Giles died, you know. But I'm telling you what I'm seeing, folks. I'm seeing a turn in our country, in some of our political leaders and in some of our educators and things. Whether these men, they may be as lost as a goose. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus told his disciples. His disciples come to him one day and said, Lord, said, we seen one back here casting out devils, and we rebuked him. Because he wasn't casting out devils, wasn't with us. Jesus said, hey. Said, let him alone. Said, one that's casting out devils in my name. Said, and I'm paraphrasing, said, they're not likely to be against us. He said, just let them alone. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let them alone. Let them do what they want to do. If you think all of our founding fathers were real Christian people, you're naive. Some of them wasn't, but they adhered to the Bible and what it said.
Yes.
So let's. I'm seeing a swing from some folks back to this. And I'm telling you, as a church, we need to start praying and ask God to do something. We really do. Kentucky's trying to lead the way in this Ten Commandment movement. Now, I don't agree with some of the stuff, the way that they're doing it and how they're acting. I don't agree with some of the dress, the way it showed some of them in the paper. I think they're probably lost. But if they're not against us, they must be false. Let them alone. You can get you one of the signs. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday.